Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to two scriptures. I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, and then over to Acts chapter 12, verse 10. That's Acts 12, 10 and Colossians 1, 26. We've been talking the last several weeks, the last month, we've talked about the coming of Christ from heaven's perspective. We have seen the truth talked about, prophesied. For years, the truth was prophesied. For years, the truth was witnessed. For years, the truth was demonstrated. And then we talked last week about the truth being denied. And even though almost 1,400 years of training into a generation of people that looked right at Christ and said, "Nah, that can't be it." Even though he met every requirement of the prophetic, even though he was of the tribe of Judah, even though he was born of a virgin, even though he met every criterion, that generation looked at him and said, "That's not it. We got to look for somebody else." And we talked about being in the same kind of situation. And this morning I want to talk to you about revelation of truth. And before we do, I want to pray, but I want to set our hearts on this. Salvation is automatic. How many know? When you receive Christ, when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ rose from the dead, you're saved. That means God moves you from the darkness into the light. That means all your sin has been forgiven, as far as the east is from the west. But I want to caution you that revelation is not automatic. Revelation is presented to us. But receiving revelation is something else. It's like an unopened gift. Gifts are neat, but they're meant to be opened. My family's in from South Carolina, and they brought all their gifts, and there's probably about, I figure it's going to take about 4 hours to open gifts tomorrow. There's so many boxes. Of course, they take every little pair of socks and put it in a box, you know. And so we'll be opening gifts forever. But gifts are meant to be open. And the most precious gift that God gave us was the gift of revelation. That we know, that we know, that we know, that we know. There's a vast difference between knowledge and revelation knowledge. One is we know the facts. The other is we've had the experience. So, Father, this morning we thank you for your good gift of Jesus. We thank you for the victory that we cried out for today and received. We thank you, God, that you've broke every chain in our lives. All we need to do is accept that and walk in it, Father. We don't know how it works. We don't know how you do all of that. But, Lord, your promises are yes in Christ, and they're amen in Christ. And so, Father, we receive them according to what you've told us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians 1:26 says, "The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints." How many in here are saints? How many are ain'ts? So we're talking to all saints this morning, I think. John's going to share in a little bit. John Fearnall asked to share a little bit. So everybody in here says you're a saint. And so the mystery has been revealed to you. Whether or not you want to accept that mystery, that Christ really is the end of all things, the answer to all things, the source of all things, the originator of all things, and the destination of all things. Amen? It's been revealed to us. And I was looking for a good illustration on the difference between knowledge and a revelation of that knowledge. And the Lord prompted me to talk about, I've given a testimony of my first time overseas in a crusade. It was in India, and I was 33 years old, 34 years old. Long time ago. That's 30 years ago. Wow. And so I'm in a I'm in this crusade, and I had been through deliverance class. I got an A in deliverance class. I knew everything. You know, I knew all this stuff. I got a perfect score, 100%. So we got to India, and in India, demons aren't shy. Here in America, demons are shy. They don't want to really expose themselves because then they got to go. But in India, since there's such a prolific existence of Hinduism and Muslim faith and all kinds of things, demons feel like they can take center stage. And so we're in our first night, and there was an altar call. Actually, I'm sorry, it was the second night. And I'm standing there praying for people, and I heard over on this side, gads of people there. Over on this side, there's a woman just screaming her bloody head off, screaming, and just causing all kinds of trouble. And I felt this tap on my shoulder, and the evangelist was up on the platform overseeing us 10 people praying, and he said, "Go take care of that." To me, I went, "Go take care of what? What are you talking about?" And so I went over there, and there's this lady laying on the floor, and people were trying to hold her down. And when I saw her eyes were green completely, no pupils, dark green, looking at me, screaming and uttering these things that didn't sound like it was coming out of a woman. It sounded like it was coming out of a creature. Are you there? Now, I'm going back through my files in my deliverance class very quickly, and I couldn't find anything to address this situation. So I had to cry out to Christ. The end product of that was she was delivered, saved, filled with the Holy Spirit that night. That night. So I went from knowledge to revelation knowledge. See, on paper, I knew that Jesus is the name above all names. On paper, I knew when you speak Jesus, demons have to go. But not until I saw deliverance take place. Come on, somebody. And man, I was casting demons out of everything that moved for the next 2 weeks in India. Anybody even looked like they had a demon? I was casting demons out. The team I was with, I think I said this before, the 9 people that were with me that had never met before, we were from different parts of the United States. And here's the oil. And so they bought me a white baseball cap that said Demon Chaser on it. So I wore that for a while until God told me to get rid of it, so. But try and tell Peter here in Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 12. I ask you to turn there. Acts 12:10. Peter was in prison, and an angel of the Lord came and kicked him in the side, told him to wake up. So he was real nervous about being a prisoner. He was dead asleep and had to be kicked in the side to be woken. Still half asleep, and he gets partway out of the prison. And it says in verse 10, when they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. Wasn't any bolt cutters. Nobody stood there and rebuked the gate. It opened on its own accord, and they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. How many know Peter went from knowledge to revelation? Are you there? See, and revelation is available to every one of us. It's a gift. We're talking about Christmas and gifts. It's a gift that God gives. Salvation is automatic. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is automatic. But it's our reception of those things. If I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit and I don't pray in spirit, it's my fault. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. It's quiet in here. Revelation. The truth revealed to a generation. The most powerful event in all of history, the birth of God to humankind, was rejected by most of Israel, the very people that were God's chosen and were told for nearly 1,400 years the Redeemer was coming, they rejected him. The event that happened that we celebrate in 2 days was an awesome history. God set up the whole thing. The plan was carried out flawlessly. Christ was born at the exact time He was supposed to be born. Any delays or accelerations were factored in. What seemed like a delay to mankind, God said, I already got that worked out. I've already been here. I know there's going to be a delay. It's going to be okay. It's going to happen. And whether we know it or not, Christ has a time when He's coming back. Nothing is going to change that time. He's coming whenever the set time is. It may seem like a delay, but He's already got that factored in. It may seem like it's speeding up, but He's already got that factored in. Revelation. The birth of Christ was precise and it was successful. You try to tell those shepherds, they didn't see what they saw. They went from knowledge to revelation. You try to tell Mary, she wasn't pregnant without being with a man. She went from knowledge to revelation. Try to tell Joseph he married a woman that slept with another man. He went from knowledge to revelation. Come on, someone. Timing, accuracy, delivery. That is what meets us when we read this story. Every year we read about it, celebrate it. But the timing was perfect. The timing of, we talked about Zacharias being in the holy place. Once in his lifetime he was there. The angel of the Lord said, your wife's going to be pregnant and give birth to a son. And by the way, Mary is pregnant. Or the angel told Mary about Zacharias, sorry. The census. People being moved around. Joseph and Mary ending up in Bethlehem. That was prophesied. Precise, accurate. The priests that were told that for 30 years kept it quiet. The magi that traveled not for a couple of months, not for 6 months, they traveled for almost 2 years to get there. They went from knowledge to revelation. All worked with pinpoint accuracy. Time as used by God has always been redemptive. His plan is to redeem mankind. Everything that happens is focused on that one thing. Jesus said, I came to reveal the truth. And I want us to go from all those things. Can everybody say amen to those things? Wasn't it accurate? What do you think God has planned for your life? Do you think the God that had pinpoint accuracy in everything that happened in history doesn't have pinpoint accuracy for you and your life? You better think again. Sometimes we cry out and we say, God, can you believe what's happened in my life? God said, I've already been there. I've already made adjustments. It's going to be okay. And it's hinged on our reception of that revelation. Because God could be right there and we'll miss Him. We'll miss Him. Can you imagine being alive in Christ's time and rejecting the very thing that God had proposed and prophesied and said, I'm going to send a Redeemer. I'm going to send the Redeemer of all mankind. And He's standing right in front of you. You say, that's not Him. See, rejection or acceptance of God's plan for your life is yours. You can reject it or you can accept it. You can say, well, I missed the boat. I'm on this, I'm that. I'm supposed to be this, I'm supposed to be that. Forget yesterday and embrace now. I've said it ad nauseum, but if we could reset life, we'd all be 8-year-olds. Pushing it, saying, we get it right this time. We get it right this time. Forget about all the mistakes of the past. Embrace what's now. Because God still has revelation knowledge for you. How do I handle from here forward, God? Give me revelation of where I am in life with you. God said, I've been waiting for that. Yeah. See, I made things available to you. I opened the prison door. In short, we're in dire need of a revival. And we've talked about revival in wrong terms. We've said revival's for the world. You have to be alive to be revived. Revival's for us. It's for you and me. But once we revive, the world will catch. The world will catch it. Revelation knowledge is for you and I. See, He doesn't reveal to sinners anything but salvation. What He reveals to us is much more than that. Come on, someone. Turn to Luke chapter 2, if you have your Bibles this morning. Third book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We need the faith of Simeon. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Verse 26 says, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. And he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Hallelujah. The purpose that Christ was born was to bring peace to Israel, the glory of your people Israel, but also look in verse 32, it says, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, that's you and me. But we don't have 1,400 years of history. We don't have all the things laid, the foundation laid over and over again, generation after generation after generation after. Jesus didn't come to the Gentiles. He came to the Jew. Born as a Jew. Came for the Gentiles to be born as a Jew. Come on, somebody. My question to you is, what is Holy Spirit revealing to you? Are you walking in the revelation that God has for you? The only one that can answer that is you, because salvation is free and without cost. But revelation will cost you everything. It will change your life. It will change direction. It will change what you spend your money on, what you spend your time on, what you spend, everything. There's a great cost to this revelation. Simeon waited. There's an old man waiting in a temple. And he realized that the Holy Spirit had given him what he promised. When we speak to someone about Christ, we must believe for revelation. Revelation must occur before one can understand spiritual things. Otherwise, it's knowledge without revelation. And it can get you in big trouble. I had an uncle that was a paratrooper. I remember him sitting talking to me about jumping out of a plane, which I think is the most ridiculous thing in the world, by the way. Why would you jump out of a perfectly good plane? I agree. He was telling me about his revelation that happened at the second jump, not the first. First he had the knowledge, the second he had revelation. Get ready for the impact at the bottom. You'll get that later. Ephesians 1:17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Why would Paul pray about believers receiving wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him? Because it was their choice. See, you have a choice. All of us could talk about the Christmas story. All of us could talk about the resurrection. We've been around long enough to disseminate the information, but it has become real to us. That this life is a waiting room for glory. That this life is just a dress rehearsal for the real thing. And everything else is less important than our relationship with Him. And how that takes on shape and form in our lives. Paul prays God might give wisdom and revelation. This speaks of a responsibility to receive it. Nowhere in here does it say by faith. Although it is by faith, but it begs the question, well, if you're praying that I would receive it, then I must have a responsibility to do so. Once the truth of God is truly revealed to an individual, there's no taking away that truth. I remember getting in a conversation with somebody in the early 90s, about 4 years after my excursion to India, telling me that there's no such thing as demons. I didn't waste much time talking. After a while, all I could say to him was, well, I've already experienced it. Can't take it away from me. See? And that's the secret of great growth in Christ. Be willing to experience the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Turn to somebody and say, He's preaching to you today. First John 2. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. I won't keep you very long. 1 John 2. John's going to come up and share for about 6 minutes or so. But I want you to look at 1 John 2 and verse 20. How many yous do we have here? Are you you? Or are you somebody else? Say, I'm you. Oh, you're me. You're you. It says right here, but you, 1 John 2:20, but you, say that's me. Come on, say that's me. See, this is not part of the scripture that's for only a few select. It's for everyone. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Wait a minute. I just got in this mess. I just now convinced myself that I should live a holy, separate life. I've just been doing this for a little while. But you have within you the God of the universe. Yes. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. But, verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. That's not talking about getting any teaching. We need teaching. But you don't need to be taught about the anointing. God says it's there for you. All you have to do is receive it. All you have to do is receive it. Say, I'm going to open my gift. I'm going to open this gift of the anointing. That I know things. That it's been revealed to me. Now it can't be denied. Now the devil can't fool me. Now I can't be speaking stuff that aren't true. Revival. We need revival. A revival of truth. A revival of this sort of thing. That we have the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How are we going to tell people to break chains when we're in chains? By our own taking. We've taken them on our own.
Yes, yes. Hallelujah.
Come on, it's quiet in here. You're thinking about that a little bit. See, revelation comes from a relationship with Christ. He's living in you. Now, I can tell you things about my wife and what she thinks very quickly. I've known her longer than I've known anybody on this earth. And she could tell you what I think. It's been revealed to us. Because we've practiced and cultivated our relationship. I encourage you to practice and cultivate the relationship with Christ, that the revealed knowledge might be yours. Because there's nothing can stand before you when you know the revelation knowledge of God.
Amen.
Nothing.
Yes.
Matthew 11, verse 25, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. All things, verse 27, have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. So if you're a saint and not an ain't, God has chosen to reveal His glory to you. He did not receive you into the kingdom and say, sit there and shut up. Just abide in me. Just abide in me, but keep your mouth shut. Just stay where you're at and hope for the best, and maybe you'll get to heaven. No, He gave us the revealed knowledge of God so that we can walk in victory without chains, without prison doors, without any kind of sickness, without any kind of disease.
Yes, hallelujah.
And there was a generation that walked in that, but this generation that we're in, we got problems. We have some problems. We need revival. We need this revelation again. His glory and His power is revealed to those who believe. Sometimes we get frustrated that people cannot see and do not know. The relationship is different with them and the Lord. They're the ones that think they just got to hang in there. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of hanging in. I'm walking in victory. Why? Because God gave me the victory. Victory was already won. We're standing up here making declarations of victory. Christ said, I'm giving you the victory. It's your gift because I want it for you. And I want you to have it. Come on, somebody. Woo, what a gift. It's not what you know, it's who you know. He'll teach us all things. He'll take care of it. If we need to know it, He's going to give it to us. Come on, somebody. Say, God, I'm so scared. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what's going on. God, help me. I'm going into an unknown territory. God's already been there.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? One said Elijah, and another person said one of the prophets, and this and that. And Simon looked at Christ and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Here's what he said in verse 17. He said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Unless you think Peter was some kind of a whiz, he's a fisherman. Come on, someone. Didn't go to rabbinical school, didn't learn all these things. Thank God for education. Thank God for books and information. But there's no substitute for revelation. The only thing I could think about when I was over there watching this woman be free The only thing I could think about was, you mean I studied all that time in deliverance class, and this is what it's all about? Woo-hoo! I wish I could have taken that and forgot the deliverance class. Come on, somebody. Nobody ever be able to fool me. There's no argument. Come on, you've had experiences like that. You know experiences in your life where you know that you know that you know this is God. And all God says is, man, I've just shown you the little bit. I've got so much more. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man what God has laid up in store for him. What do you think, that's for somebody else? No, that's for you. The God that was specific, the God that was precise, the God that was pinpointed and brought Christ at the exact moment he was supposed to be brought, the God that spoke to the shepherds, the God that spoke to Mary, he loves you. God is very pinpoint about your life. He's not willy-nilly about you. He's not, well, you just sit there and be part of the body of Christ. Man, he is specific about your life. And how he does it. I don't want to know how he does it. I just want to receive it. The whole thing about revelation is to receive it. Revealed. And you never look the same in anything. Anybody that knows my wife knows if you've been to my house for supper, she's clean for 16 hours before you got there. She wants everything perfect, even places that people don't. And it happened again yesterday. We have our family in, and so we were cleaning things, and I had cleaned an area of the living room, and she came in, and she saw dirt. Now how she saw it, it was revealed to me through her. Look at that. I never saw that before. And that's the way the Holy Spirit is, if we'll allow him to be. We think everything's okay. We think everything is good. And God says, if you'll just spend some time with me, I'll reveal some things that are blocking all that I have for you. It's not in condemnation. It's not, I'm gonna browbeat you over this. And just say, remove these things, and it's pure now. First Corinthians 2:9 is what I quoted. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Woo-hoo! What a gift. But if all we ever do is hear about that on Sundays and not implement that, not fold it into our lives, and to many here today, the saints, I'm talking to saints, many here today, it's going to take some radical change in your life to receive the gift. And you're free to stiff arm God and say, okay, I see the gift, but if it's okay, I'll keep it wrapped in over there. It's a promise that I'm not going to walk in because I know it's going to take tremendous change to receive and to implement that gift. Of course, we read something that's already done, but how many know Mary could have said no? Mary could have said, I got plans. Thanks, but no thanks. You're not hearing me. And we'd be reading something different. But God already made provision for that. Something in Mary's heart responded. And we have what we have today. God didn't make an accident with you. He didn't say, this is going to be, just sit there and be quiet and get to heaven. And he has so much more for you. The power that's in this front row with these young people here, life changers right here. If they realized how they're steering a whole generation, helping to steer a whole generation into purity and holiness and righteousness, right within their arms. Say, thank you, but I'll sit in the back and enjoy the ride. That choice is yours. But if you want to steer and change things, God says, I'll give it to you. I'll give you the ability to do that. He's already given it to you. All you got to do is implement it. God has revealed His glory and His power and His anointing and His salvation to this generation. The very first words in the Word of God that God spoke, He said, let there be light. Now, what was that light? What was that light? Light wasn't invented till the fourth day, created until the fourth day. Sun, the moon, and stars weren't created till the fourth day. So what was the light? The light was the revealed knowledge of God. Because if He didn't allow Himself to be known, we wouldn't know a thing about Him. He's so far different from anything we've ever known. But He said, because I love you, I reveal my knowledge to you. I reveal who I am to you. Praise God. What a gift. And I encourage you, some that have looked at it, felt it, bounced it up and down on your lap, unwrap it. Unwrap this revelation knowledge that God has for you. Watch how it changes your life. I'll see a new spring in your step, a glint in your eye. Man, God has a plan for my life. I'm going to walk in it. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your good gift. We thank you for your gift that keeps on giving. Thank you for that gift that you've given to us every day. Lord, that as precise as you were with the birth, the resurrection, the crucifixion, Lord, as precise as you've been even today, you are precise with sunrise, with the position of planets, the whole universe, Lord, the right mixture of oxygen and all the things to breathe, God, all these things so precise. Lord, you're precise with me, and I give you glory for that. I thank you for being precise with my brothers and sisters. We give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name.